even have to do that. I'm looking at a 599 AT Eagle on my computer right now, and that is a really nice radio, and it has a USB port on the back of it. So it may actually be able to talk to a computer. My Corsair 2 is probably designed in the early 80s. Doesn't even have an RS-232 on the back of it. And my little interface box, all it does is, I've got two different ones. One's got a sound card in it, and one doesn't. It's got an isolation transformer that electrically isolates the computer from the radio. And that is on both the microphone and speaker side. And then on the speaker side, there's a little circuit in there that takes part of that signal and drives a switching transistor that operates the push-to-talk. So when the computer starts generating a sound, the radio starts to transmit. And again, it's transmitting an analog sound. If you can go in the right way, that's what it sounds like, and that's what your radio is transmitting. So it's that simple. And then I've got another interface box that I took one of these $1.98 sound cards and popped the case off of it and glued it to a piece of circuit board, and with some magnifying glasses soldered the connections to pull the power out of it, and then also soldered into the connections into the speaker and the microphone connections and hooked that same little circuit to it. So we're not even talking about firecracker size, much less rocket size, to make all of that work. And I use those boxes with the Corsair 2, and then I've got an 857, which I refuse to spend the money to buy the cable and the software. So I do the same thing with it, and then my 7300 plugs into the computer with USB cable, and that's where all those bit rates and sampling rates and all that stuff have to match up. But there's a good YouTube video out there that'll tell you how to do that. So don't let that stuff scare you. You may not like it. It may not be what you want to do, but don't let it scare you away, y'all. It can be kind of fun. With that, Robert, we'll turn it back to you and say 7-3, y'all. Enjoy talking to you, y'all. KD4SRR, KC4EZM.
Well, I do appreciate it. And, I've got ideas, and, I don't know whether your Corsair has a quarter inch in or if it's got the pin slot. Which one does it have?
The headphone connection's a quarter inch, and the microphone connection is a 4-pin. In the Corsair 2, one of the things that I don't totally understand, but keep in mind that Tentec's factory is across the street from the Electro-Voice factory there in Tennessee. It does not matter whether you plug in a condenser mic or a dynamic mic into that connection, and I've got both. They are Tentec products, and you just screw them in and they work. My favorite mic looks like the handheld that the rock stars use, but Tentec sold it, and I've got it mounted on, I don't like spending money where they don't have to. I wanted a boom mic and didn't want to spend the money to buy one, and when Kmart went out of business, I bought a desk lamp that had that, flexible spring-loaded arm, and took the lamp off and took a couple of tie wraps and wrapped that hand mic to that boom, and that's my boom mic now. But it's a dynamic mic as opposed to a condenser mic, and it screws into the same hole that had my hand mic that came with the radio, and it's a condenser mic. And I said, that radio doesn't care. It somehow senses the difference and makes it up inside. But again, your radio is probably 20 years newer in design, and I can say that I think you're going to be happy with that radio. KC4EZM.
Well, here's what mine has, a quarter inch, which that just makes it so much easier. I've got an original Shure, it's not a 57, I want to say it's a 555. Anyway, it was the last of the American made Shure 57s, you know, the cylindrical mics. A lot of them wound up in bands, but a lot of them wound up in Burger King and drive-thrus. They were principal's office mics, but they were a very good dynamic mic. And as far as condenser mics, I actually have a direct box that has one, was it a 12B7 something driving tube in it? And it'll do phantom power. So I've got a couple of condenser mics here I can use. I even have some old AKG stuff. So it's just stuff laying around I collected, gathered dust. But yeah, I know what you're talking about on the boom mic. I'm going to get me one of those scissor deals. I have a golden mic. It's not like Rush Limbaugh's Electric Voice RE20 golden mic, but it is gold, and it works surprisingly well. I just got to hook up a PTT switch, and I'm thinking about going with the foot pedal.
That will work. That's what I did. This Corsair 2 has got RCA connectors on the back. And all I had to do was to get a foot switch that was just an on-off switch. One of the things that I learned, and I didn't learn it the hard way. Well, actually, I did. I picked up a foot switch at a Hamfest or something. It had a USB connector on it, and I thought, well, I'll just cut that off and put an RCA on it. And what I didn't understand was that foot switch was an LED basically when you mash the pedal down, it broke the light path into the sensing side of the thing. They didn't work real good with push to talk, and so I looked on the box, found online that they had a regular, what I call an on-off, you know, a breaking contact switch, and ordered it, and the guy in China asked me, was I real sure that that was what I that was really not a gaming switch for a computer, and I explained to him what I was doing, and he said, thank you. Cost me $9.95. Yeah, I just plugged that into the back of the Corsair 2 and have that, like I say, it's the hand mic, it's the Tintec 709. That's what I use when I use, I do single sideband on the Corsair 2. Like I say, it's a nice mic. It was meant for the radio, which means that it probably would not be real good for a music program. I don't know if that mic has got the same frequency range that your regular mic that you use in a music group. I don't know if they customized it for just amateur radio, because we don't go much over about 5,000 hertz for, you know, just normal voice. You know, most of the audio stuff is, you know, when you're listening to a violin or something like that, you're working up to 20,000 kilohertz, or 20,000 hertz, rather. But anyway, that all works, and it's nice to sit there and, you know, you got your foot, you can talk, and you got your other two hands free to work the radio. So, and again, I was looking at this 599 AT Eagle. It's got a built-in auto tuner. Don't know anything about it, you might want to go out and Google that, download a manual, and read it real carefully. You've got a good solid piece of equipment there that I think you're going to enjoy, and it's a little bit beyond analog, but not quite to digital. Anyway, we'll turn it back to you. It's time to go QRT tonight. Tomorrow's going to be a little bit busy, but anyway, enjoy talking to you, Robert. My amateur interests are a little bit opposite of Chance, and that's one of the nice things about amateur radio is it doesn't matter what you want to do. There's something out there that you can get into, and just have fun with it. Anyway, enough editorializing there. Got that axe ground down to where it needs to be. KD4SRR, KC4EZN, and I will be clear this time for sure.
Well, I do appreciate you letting me keep you on for so long. I hope it didn't keep you way too long and you got behind on your chores. But, yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm anti-digital. I'm just a digital skeptic. If you have to get it, you have to have a Rube Goldberg solution to send a picture. I mean, that's nice. But I think back about old packet radio, like I was saying, the chess program that took all night to download. But anyway, I'm encouraged. Thanks for coming back. It's good to find a good American Tintech owner on here. And this guy said he's had it for a couple of years. He's got Eddie has got a whole bunch of radios in his house. He's got a virtual museum, and he just said, you know, hey, I got a couple of these. I don't need two. So hopefully it'll work out to be a great deal. I think I'll enjoy it. But I'll let it drop for 1 second. You don't have to answer, but I'll finish up with this. Things with knobs. I like things that I can tune. I'm not a good guitar player, but I like tuning a guitar, a six-string guitar. However, I wouldn't enjoy a 12-string guitar or a mandolin, which a mandolin, if you want to compare it in the music world, they spend half their time tuning it and the other half playing out of tune. So, but I like that kind of approach to fine-tuning the signal and, you know, just the little finger. It's like flying without autopilot. So that's enough of me for tonight, and at least on this channel. I'll go hunting and pecking on some of the others here in a little bit. Well, have a great evening. This is KD4SRR Robert. I'm signing off, and I'm clear.